Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And we all know that the truth will set you free, but the question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? The focus of the show each week deals with various mental health issues, and I tend to take a more holistic approach, which is about balance in body, mind, and spirit. And over the last couple of years, I've covered a wide range of topics, but all of them basically get back to tonight's topic, which has to do with stress in our lives. Now, stress is part of being alive. All of us experience stress, but the phrase stressed out is not necessarily something that has to be part of all of our lives. And I'm going to start tonight by actually talking a few minutes before I introduce my guest in a couple of minutes, talking about stress. And one way to deal with stress is to not take ourselves so seriously. So I'm actually going to be quoting from a book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Psychology by Joni Johnston, who's a PsyD. And in that, in the chapter she talks about with stress, she says, stress is a general term that includes all the physical, behavioral, emotional, and cognitive responses we make to a disruptive internal or external event. I'll say it again, because this is a very clinical way of saying it, and then we're going to talk in plain language. Stress is a general term that includes all the physical, behavioral, emotional, and cognitive responses we make to a disruptive internal or external event. Now, all of us experience stress. I mean, right now, I'm sure any of you that are listening are feeling stressed about something. Maybe you're on your way home, you listen to this in the car, and you're stressed because you're in traffic. Okay? So let's talk about traffic for a minute. Why do some people deal with the stress of traffic by wanting to get out and shoot somebody, and other people are able to stay somewhat calm, listen to music, and just kind of take the traffic jams as they come and know that they'll get home sooner or later? So what is it that makes one person able to cope with a situation like that, and another person it just sends them over the edge? So we're going to be talking about that tonight with my guest. And the important thing about this is, in that definition, it talks about internal and external issues. To me, the bottom line about anything is to get honest with yourself and to increase your level of consciousness. Number one, in this case, to what are the things going on in your life that create stress? What are the things that may be something more situational right now, and what are the things that you seem to have patterns with that seem to keep creating drama over and over again, and it feels similar and it feels the same? And then it's about, what are the external things that are going on? External meaning relationships, job, politics, maybe war or violence in your community. To me, even driving along the city streets and seeing graffiti on the walls gives me a knot in my stomach. It just makes me so angry. For some people, it's the weather. You know, we know that in the east right now and in the north, they're having these severe storms. Well, that's a stressor for a lot of people. For some people, you know, I have a relative who every winter, whether it's snowing or cold or not, the darkness creates what's called a seasonal depression thing. But that's part of her stressors. Maybe it's finances. What are some of the internal stressors? Maybe it's your self-esteem issues, belief systems that you have about yourself, about life, that just seem to be very negative and keep feeding into situations that increase the level of discomfort that you have or the fear that you live with. Behavior patterns. Maybe there are medical issues going on that create stress because you don't know how your body's going to be responding. You don't know if this illness is going to be long-lasting. You're uncomfortable now because it's going on. So we're going to be talking tonight about the difference between the internal stressors and the external stressors, but the bottom line to all of this is being honest enough to say, I am stressed out. These are the things that are going on in my life that I'm uncomfortable with, or I know that something's off and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to cope with it. I don't know how to fix it. I need help. And tonight, my guest is Marla Sloan, who actually was a guest a number of months ago on the show, and we talked about the masks that people wear. And Marla has recently, I think, self-published a book, a really very focused, concise, straightforward book called 101 Easy Ways to Reduce the Stress in Your Life. Marla, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm glad to have you back on the show again.
Well, thank you. It's good
great.
To be here.
I know that I covered a number of things, and I know that you have a lot to say about even some of the issues I've already brought up, like internal and external stressors and whatever. What is your definition of stress? I mean, how do you work with this?
I have a very easy definition of stress, and it's demands made on you or your body that you're not sure you're able to fulfill.
Say that again.
It is the demands that are made on either you or your body that you're not sure that you're able to fulfill. And I say that, and there's different degrees of stress. Because if we do something very easily, it's not a big deal. Like, let's say I need to go to the post office sometime today before 5 o'clock. And I don't have a busy schedule. So for me to take that act, that demand that's made on me, it'll be very simple. But, you know, if I have a lot to do, and I remember at 4:45 that I've got to go to the post office because I've got to, you know, take care of this letter that's very important, and I hit traffic, that demand that's made on me now becomes very difficult, and I'm not so sure I can fulfill that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the stress comes in. And the stress is much greater at that point than, let's say, if traffic were free and easy and I can make it in a plenty amount of time. So it's that feeling that we're not able to fulfill something, that's what gives us the stress.
Mm-hmm. So again, to take what you just said a little further, where I'm going with it in my mind is if we think we're not able to fulfill something, that also feeds into self-esteem issues, inadequacy issues, messages and thoughts that we may have bought into that we're not capable or we're not good enough.
Exactly. All those insecurities will start arising, and before you know it, then the internal factors start coming up, and now you've got a major stress situation on your hands. And, you know, it's very interesting that you said, you know, you've got to ask for help, because tip number 88 is exactly that, ask for help. You cannot do it all. Whatever it is that you need, ask for it, you know. You need help with it, so you ask. And we have options. And sometimes when people are faced with stress, they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And they just feel so inadequate at that point, and they don't know what to do. And then their focus is very narrow, and then, you know, they tense up, and they become very angry. And one of the things that I'd like to say to your listeners is that there are options out there, and you just need to exercise them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really that simple.
One of the things that you just said, I think, is very important, and that has to do with the issue of asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we're going to be talking a lot about, I mean, you have 101 things here. We're not going to be able to cover them all, but I highlighted a few of them that I felt were really important. And the whole theme of the show is always about being able to reach out and know your limits. And when you're not aware of your limits, it intensifies as a stress in your life. And some people's reaction to stress is depression.
Mm-hmm.
Some people it may be addictive behaviors or substances and things like that. Those are the destructive coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
What your book does is, in a very beautiful way, is actually offer constructive options.
Yes, and that's very true. People react to stress in different ways, but usually they can be very self-destructive, and that is one of the reasons that it is so important to talk about it, because if you let it go and you don't do anything about it, you know, in 5 or 10 years, you're going to find yourself either with an ulcer or clinically depressed, or with a huge addiction that you don't know where it came from. And this is the thing. It's dealing with issues like stress eliminates things in the future. It eliminates your self-destructive patterns in the future. Any problem and any issue that you're dealing with, you're faced with, deal with it. And you don't want it to go further, because it just creates even more of a monumental problem later on. There's lots of ways you can deal with stress, and really they're very simple. All you need to do is just put your head in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is the best way to do it. There's the very last tip, which I know we'll be talking about later, is to live in your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Really take a good look at who you are, what you are, and where you want to go in life. When you're not true to yourself, then all these other stress factors just come into your life, and you don't really quite know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying before, you know, when you, some people are, they deal with stress, they shut down. And if you shut that part of yourself down, how can you ever move forward?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're already there at 101, live in your truth. And I think it is important. Now, a number of these items that you have here, you call them five-star exercises. What do you mean by five-star exercises? Some of them are not rated like that, but on every page there seems to be one or two that you consider a five-star exercise.
Five-star exercise, in my opinion, is a very powerful and effective exercise. Sometimes you wouldn't think about it, but you wouldn't think so, but it is. I have on one of the tips, it's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is to forgive. And I'll have a client say to me, well, you know, Marla, what's the big deal about forgiveness? But it is, when you forgive somebody that's doing you wrong, you've finished the situation. You've closed it. And forgiveness doesn't mean allowing somebody to abuse you. It doesn't mean that you're allowing somebody to make you a victim. It just means that you've forgiven the situation, you're aware of it, you see it clearly, you see your part in the situation, and it's finished. You're no longer triggered by it. And then you move on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have that forgiveness, it just releases all the stress from that situation. And it also makes you feel better about yourself. Then you've forgiven yourself also, which is very important too. And then you just move on to the next situation, and you're that much more wiser.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that also impressed me about this book that you wrote has to do with the wide range of options for people, and we're going to talk about that after we come back from this break. So we're going to ask you to stay tuned, and we'll be back with Marla Sloan and 101 Easy Ways to Reduce Stress in Your Life. This is Stuart Altshuler on KXAM. We'll be right back after this message.
The rainbow
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and tonight we're talking about 101 Easy Ways to Reduce Stress in Your Life, and my guest is the author of a book of that title, her name is Marla Sloan. When I was looking through this book that you actually emailed to me, and we're going to talk about how people can get a copy of this, one of the things that really impressed me was that many of these items that you have listed here are, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that exercising is going to help stress, meditating is going to help stress, having an environment around you that is conducive to calming, taking a hot bath, going for a walk, all those sort of things. But the strange thing is, as simple as those things are, most people don't think to do that when they're stuck in the middle of what's stressing them out.
Exactly.
Most people, I mean, I'm a rebirther, and it's about breath, and I'm not sure whether one of your items here, maybe it's number 102, would be take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Use the breath and breathe and allow that to calm you down. So how do people, I mean, the beauty of this is here's a list. So if you're stressed and you're not thinking about what to do, you can open this up and pick number 25 or whatever. How did you conceive of this whole concept? I mean, how did this come about for you?
A lot of my clients were very stressed out. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and I also do, I speak, and I have produced meditation tapes. And a lot of my clients will say to me, I'm so stressed out, I can't even listen to your meditation tape. Can you give me something really quick that I can do? Or I'm really stressed out with my boss, and I'm at my desk, and I can't listen to the meditation tape right then and there. And so I'll say, well, you know what? And that was one of the things that I told them. Take 3 deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we react to stress, our muscles tense up, our arteries kind of close up, and we're literally stressed inward. And when you take 3 deep, long breaths, it automatically gives oxygen to all those places that need it. When you restrict everything in your body, it needs oxygen. It's tightening up so that it doesn't get oxygen. And when you take 3 deep breaths, it automatically gives those places oxygen, gets your bloodstream going, and you automatically start to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the fastest and quickest way and the easiest way you can do it. And even I've had my clients say, if they're in an office situation, I just tell them, take a little break, just walk around the office and just clear your head and just tell yourself you can deal with it. And then when you get back to your cubicle or you get back to your desk, you'll see that the situation isn't as bad as you thought it was.
It's so important. I mean, it's so important to be able to, I mean, number 12 is simplify your life as much as possible. And the beauty of most of this stuff on this list is that they're all very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you suggesting people to simplify their lives, you know, what are the things going on that are overwhelming or creating too much chaos or too much on their plate,
mm-hmm.
But the suggestions you're giving them are actually very simple things.
Yes.
I love 93, actually. Scream.
You know, that was given to me. I was lecturing. It was my very first time lecturing at the Deepak Chopra Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very nervous. And, you know, the Deepak Chopra is one of the most world-renowned speakers, and here I was going to, you know, lecture at his facility, so of course I wanted to be good. And I was so incredibly nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And his staff told me that's what he does every once in a while, and that is what he teaches people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're really in a tense situation, just scream.
Yeah, it moves the energy. I do it in the car, and that's usually a good place to tell people to do it.
Yes, and before
you
go on to another topic, that is another thing that we need to add, that you don't need to have everybody hear you. Do it in a private area.
Right, because if you live in an apartment, people next door are going to wonder, thinking somebody's in there stabbing you. So cars are often a good place to do it.
Yes, exactly, and that's what I did. I screamed for just a minute or two,
mm-hmm.
and when I started the lecture, I was really fine. So it, you know, believe it or not, it works. It's
yep.
amazing.
And the opposite of the screaming is laughter, because, you know, we know that, you know, if anybody has been around for the last 20 years, Norman Cousins wrote a book a long time ago called Anatomy of an Illness and talked about the power of laughter in terms of healing and helping people calm down, and how he was able to do research to prove that, you know, laughter actually helps clean the system.
Absolutely.
And helps put one in a place where the immune system can actually function better.
Absolutely. And even you were saying in the beginning of the show, don't take yourself or life too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tip number 85. It's
mm-hmm.
interesting that you got that from another book, and it's in my little
mm-hmm.
booklet too. It's, you know, it's important to be responsible, but it's not important to be too serious. You know, lightening up is great for anxiety, depression, and stress.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was kind of funny because when Johnny Carson first started out in the business, he got advice from someone, and the advice was, don't take yourself too seriously.
Right.
You'll have much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he's often said that on his show, that, you know, I give advice to new comics and new actors and new people in the business, don't take yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with that too. I mean, even if when I'm giving lectures and things like that, I believe it's so important to talk about my own stuff as a way of letting people see that I'm not embarrassed, I'm not ashamed, that I've had my challenges, and that in not make jokes, because some people will use humor as a way of masking what the stress is about, but to be able to be a bit self-effacing without being totally self-condescending, I think is a very important balance to be able to achieve.
Absolutely. And it's also inviting to other people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a warmth about that that they can relate to, and an honesty, and it just makes you more likable.
Mm-hmm. So this book came together. How long have you worked on it?
About 6 months.
6 months.
My clients were saying, we need something quick. We need something quick, you know, and they were stressed out, and we can't listen to your tapes all the time. So, you know, can you just kind of devise something? And I figured, okay, great. And I liked 101 easy ways to, you know, I wanted it to be simple and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be diverse so that if you're 5 years old or if you're 105, there'd be something in here for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I researched every single tip to make sure that it was indeed, you know, reduced stress, so that they all did work and it's all authentic. And I put it together in the form of a little booklet, and now it's ready to be introduced to the world.
Well, we're introducing it tonight, aren't we? There are a lot of things on this list that, you know, with me and my ADD, which I talk about fairly regularly, managing your time wisely, number 13, getting organized, which is number 48, and, you know, there are a few other things that for people with certain brain chemistry, they're not that easy to do. But then you have number 49, which is something that I learned very quickly, delegate responsibility. Once I understood that there were certain limitations that I might possess, one of the ways, other than, you know, working on behavioral changes and reprogramming my behaviors, was to also honor certain limitations and delegate some of the responsibility, or find a support system that can take over some of the things that I don't want to do or don't do well.
Absolutely. When I was in training, a lot of people have said to me, if it's not your genius, hand it over to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a very important piece of information, because we can't do it all. And if we think we're going to do it all, that just gives us more stress.
Mm-hmm.
And every successful person that I know, and I mean that in both a financial on a financial level and an emotional level, every single successful person that I know delegates responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they overlook to make sure that it's, you know, taken care of, but they delegate work out because they know they can't do it all, and you know, that helps with stress. You know, we can't do it all; it's impossible. And prioritize, you know, what is the most important. That's the thing that needs to be done first. And get good people around you that will do the job just as good as you can. And before you know it, you've got a nice, smooth system going. And it releases, it eliminates stress. So that is important.
Definitely. And in the introduction to the book that you sent me, I mean, you talked about the impact that stress has. You talk about in the corporate world, stress costs have reportedly increased to $300 billion a year in absenteeism and healthcare expenses.
Mm-hmm.
It also has the impact on what it does to families in terms of it leading to divorce and violence within the home. And you know, we live in a world right now where, I mean, you know, there's war everywhere, there's terrorism, fear of terrorism, you know, it's even the anticipation of things that the media are telling us is inevitable, it's going to be here, it's going to be here, it's going to be here, and we've had tastes of it, unfortunately, you know, here, and there are people in other countries where it's a daily experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, violence tends to beget violence.
Exactly.
Stress tends to be contagious,
exactly.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And especially in the home, you know, if you're stressed out and your children see that you're stressed out, guess what? They're going to adopt that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how they're going to react to problems, is being stressed out. And you know, again, you just have the intensity of that mounting with certain issues, and it's going to come out in some way, either in the form of an ulcer, in the form of violence, in the form of shutting down, in the form of depression, and also in other things, high blood pressure, heart disease,
mm-hmm.
diabetes. I mean, they've been finding out that stress is it's America's number one health problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a leading cause of major illnesses. So eliminating as much as you can in your life will absolutely make you a healthier, happier person.
Okay, well, we're going to take another pause here and take a break. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Marla Sloan and 101 Easy Ways to Reduce Stress in Your Life. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight we're talking with Marla Sloan, who's the author of a really wonderful, simple book called 101 Easy Ways to Reduce Stress in Your Life. And Marla, we were talking during the break, you and I, about even the most enlightened person, the most together person, the person that may be teaching these things, and I don't consider myself the most together person in the world and stuff, but even though I may teach people how to use a lot of these things, sometimes I'm even stuck with not coping well with a situation, you know, like being awake all night long and, you know, still having difficulty quieting my mind even after all the years and all this work. And sometimes it's just about, you know what, this is part of what I'm going through right now, and instead of adding to the stress and being upset with myself, just kind of flowing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can't get to sleep, I read a book, or I turn on the TV, or do whatever I need to do, but I think it's important to be able to accept sometimes that you're struggling.
Exactly. You know, the stress in our life is going to come and go. It's not like when we have one situation, a stressful situation, and we dealt with it, that, gee, we're never going to get another stressful situation again. Stress is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how we deal with that stress that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's just, you know, when you're having a sleepless night, saying, okay, I can't sleep. So instead of me worrying about not sleeping, let me do something constructive until I do get to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, then you have a win-win situation. Because if you can't sleep, then you're tossing and turning. But if you do something, whether it be reading a book or watching TV or, you know, taking care of your emails or something constructive, at least you're doing something in that downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And it does release the stress. You're doing something constructive.
Right. There was one, I mean, there were many of them we could talk about. We could probably do a whole show on each and every single one of these. But number 81, you have, realize your true self-worth. When you really know who you are and your place in the world, everything seems easier. You can live a life with little stress.
You know, this one to me is very important, and I deal with this one a lot. You know, I don't know if your listeners know, but I live in Los Angeles, and this is a very high-stress city. It's a very competitive city. And being in, quote, Hollywood, if you look a certain way and if you drive a fancy car, you're a little bit more accepted in social circles. And so there's a lot of game playing going on here. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful things in Hollywood and Los Angeles that are fabulous, but also we've got the other side of it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with me, if I don't drive a fancy car and I'm in a certain social group, they might look down on me, or I might not be quite as accepted as I would like to be. And when you know that, to me, gives me stress. And it's like, you know, am I being competitive along with my colleagues? Am I being competitive along with the people that I'm associated with? And then that just gives us, you know, again, the insecurities start arising. Are we good enough? You know, gee, am I smart enough for this crowd? And, you know, am I making the amount of money that I should be making because, you know, they're making a certain amount of money? And all of that, and, you know, that just adds, for me personally, that just adds a lot of stress. But, you know, it's like, When you realize your true self-worth, all of that dissipates because it doesn't really matter. And your true self-worth is what you're giving to society, what you're contributing, and how you're helping others.
And to do that without comparing what you're doing to accomplish that to what other people are doing, because then you're beating yourself down again very often.
Exactly. It's making no comparisons. It's making no judgment. You're taking yourself and you're seeing what you're contributing in your way and the purpose that you're put on earth to do. That's a very good point, because it has nothing to do with the next person. It has
right.
nothing to do with anybody else around us. We're focusing on what we're here to do. Well, I'm focusing on what I'm here to do. And if I contribute my gifts and I help others in my way, in the way that I'm most comfortable in the way that is most effective for everyone else, then I have really accomplished quite a bit. And that is my self-worth. It's not a car. And that's a really important message that I want to give your listeners, because our true worth is not our income, whether it be big or small. Either way, it works both ways. And our true worth is not the car we drive. And that works both ways, too. If you drive a Bentley, that doesn't mean you're any better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you drive, you know, a clunky old used car somewhere that's just barely running, that has nothing to do with your self-worth.
I think another way of saying that is that the essence of who we are is not based on what we have, but it's based on what we do with what we have.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, some people will say, well, what's the point? I'm not worthy. You know, I don't have, you know, someone else has all these millions of dollars and they're setting up these foundations and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's what that person's able to do with what they have, and at least they're being conscious enough to do charitable work with the money that they're making instead of just blowing it or snorting it up their nose or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a person who may not have those millions, the essence of who they are may be that person who walks down the street and smiles and says hello to people and makes other people's day brighter just through that simple action.
Exactly. Exactly. And you'll be surprised to know how many people that you affect that you had no idea. I get stories all the time from teachers that say, I never knew that this one kid in my class ever even liked me as a teacher. And as they got older, they got letters saying, you were the most instrumental person in helping me achieve my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Because you set an example. And so all you have to do is be who you are. And again, it comes back to living in your truth. And when you do that, you won't even realize it, but you're setting examples for the people around you that are taking notice. They may not say anything, but they're taking notice, and you're achieving a great deal to their essence and their lifestyle and their insight, and you're really becoming a role model. So, and we never know, I mean, sometimes we do know, but a lot of times we don't know who we're affecting.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. It is important, you know, just realize who you are, realize your true self-worth, and be who you are.
And again, if you have difficulty getting to that point, then there are things that are going on inside you that block you from really honoring and connecting with that essence that we're talking about. So ask for help.
Exactly.
Find somebody who can be a guide to helping you clear the static to be able to really get in touch honestly with that part of it. It's about living in your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to take another short break here, and we're going to come back with Marla Sloan. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM in Phoenix. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster to our final segment this evening. This is Stuart Altshuler, and tonight we've been talking about 101 Easy Ways to Reduce Stress in Your Life, which is the name of a book written by my guest tonight, Marla Sloan. And one of the things that I was saying to you during the break is, I mean, we've been talking about a lot of these major, what did you call them, five-star exercises are some of the more introspective and heavier things to do and stuff like that. But one of the things that's really nice about this list is it gives people some very simple suggestions, like, you know, renting a comedy or renting a classic movie or just talking to a friend or going to a movie or instead of cooking dinner that night, ordering in dinner or going out to a restaurant, you know, going watching a sunset or sunrise. You know, some of them are just very practical things like just go take a walk, you know, release some of that stress and go look at your neighborhood.
Yes.
You know,
or even at night. And these are things that anybody can do and they don't cost a penny. So,
right.
You know, nobody has an excuse to say, well, like, gee, I can't do it. At night, if you are stressed out, go outside and if it's a clear day, just look at the stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that stargazing is one of the best things that you can do to release stress, and it just gives you, it's awesome. I know when I look at the stars at night, I just look and think, you know, look at this big, beautiful world we're living in. My little problem is really quite minuscule, isn't it?
Now, I don't mean to minimize that, but you live in L.A. Where do you go to see the stars?
Well, when I go outside late at night, I can see. On a clear day, I can see.
On a clear night.
Yeah, now, I'm not saying that happens every single night. But
I know, because I live in L.A., and it's like, unless there's a full moon, it's hard to see too much of what's up there, unless you go up into the mountains. So,
anybody can take a walk, whether it just be
right.
Up and down the driveway or around the block or,
mm-hmm.
You know, just look at the trees, look at nature, you know, look at a bird that's flying by. All of that
mm-hmm.
stuff really helps.
Right.
And of course, the sunrise and sunset, that is fabulous and it's beautiful. And
you know what else that I've done with my yard that everyone always comments on? I put in some fountains.
Yeah.
And so the running water is right outside my bedroom door. At night even I can hear it. And I've actually had clients who may live in apartments, and I suggest to them that they get one of those, like, tabletop fountains, one of those little, like, meditation fountains
mm-hmm.
that has a little motor in it and stones and other stuff, and they've really appreciated actually having that kind of running water going in the apartment, even if it's just, like, background noise.
Absolutely.
It's soothing.
Water has a soothing effect on the body
mm-hmm.
and the emotion, so that's excellent, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Now, to me, there's a common theme on this show every week, and a lot of the things on your list touch on all of them. I mean, obviously, living your truth, number 101. Number 99 is communicate, and number 100 is follow your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that inner voice and how to get in touch with it, listen to it, and make sure you're listening to the higher self when you're listening to the inner voice, and also how to communicate and tell the truth faster to the people around you, so that you're withholding less.
Yes. You know, communication is obviously very important, but when you say what you mean, and you mean what you say,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't allow a lot of miscommunication. And when that happens, it eliminates being misunderstood, you know, you eliminate being misunderstood, and it prevents stressful situations. So,
well, it's not just miscommunication, it's when you're not speaking it, then you leave room for people assuming things.
Exactly.
And that adds so much stress and so much more drama and chaos to a situation because people are trying to figure it out.
Exactly. And, you know, I know in my past experiences, when I wanted to say something and I didn't, I got mad at myself because I wanted to say something and by the fact that I didn't say something, the situation got even more stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's important to say what you feel. It's, you know, say it appropriately, of course, but say what you mean and mean what you say, but communicate. Communicate your feelings out there in an appropriate way that people can understand.
Now, there are a lot of people, including myself at times, that don't think of the thing to say until an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to what you just said and saying, but I never know what to say in this situation and stuff. Well, this is part of what takes some reprogramming. This is part of what develops that I'm listening to the inner voice, and that inner voice is guiding me, and I'm listening now to it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm developing the confidence behind these words that I can speak what I'm getting inside me right now instead of waiting an hour later before I'm even hearing it inside myself.
Exactly. And when you're, and if you can get yourself to be still to listen to that voice, that's when you can hear it even more clearly. It's even louder. Then there's no misunderstanding it. And like you said, you want to listen to the higher voice, not mm-hmm. the not the dark voice, because we have both.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, if you think like, oh, darn it, I keep wanting to say something an hour later, just have the intention of focusing that you're going to start listening to that voice, and when you hear that voice, that's when you appropriately say it in a quick manner to where it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
And your intention has a lot to do with it, too. So, you know, for a lot of your listeners, if they feel like, well, you know, I don't know if I can do some of these things, or, gee, I'm not sure that they'll work, or if there's any kind of doubt at all, I want them to know that your intention is quite powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that inside, and you want to, the intention of listening to your intuition, you have the intention of communicating, you know, in a harmonious manner, in an effective manner, you know what? It's going to come.
Well, the basic intention of having less stress in your life.
Exactly.
Which is the bottom line to this whole thing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Intention is very important, and in time you'll get it. And I want your listeners to also know, if you're not communicating well in the first couple of times, don't give up. Just keep perfecting it and tweaking it. And also, too, when we're asking for help, I want another message out there is, if you need to find a counselor or a therapist or a doctor or whatever you're, or just delegating responsibility to others, if it doesn't work the first time, keep trying. That just means you need to tweak it a little more. Don't give up.
Yeah. Now, if someone wants to get hold of a copy of 101 Easy Ways to Reduce the Stress in Your Life by Marla Sloan, how can they do that, Marla?
They can go to Amazon.com. And it is right, it's listed right on there, so they're more than, it's very easy to buy it from Amazon.com. And they can also send me an email at orders@marlasloan.com. And I think they could even go to your website, Tell the Truth Faster.
They could go to tellthetruthfaster.com, and this show, hopefully, in not too distant, not too far into the future, will be archived on there so people can listen more to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But your website will be hyperlinked from tellthetruthfaster.com to marlasloan.com so people can place their orders that way also.
Mm-hmm.
Last words?
My last words?
Mm-hmm.
Just basically have the intention, focus on what you want in life. Have the intention of getting that, of acquiring that, and living in your truth.
Good. Once again, I want to thank you. This is the second time you've been on the show, and there's only been, in 2 years, there's only been, I think, four people that have actually been second-time guests on the show. So.
Well, I'm quite honored.
Well, and I hope we'll get you back again sometime
okay.
within the next year. And to let people know that our listeners, even if you don't call in, that this is the last time that that this show will be broadcast on Tuesday night. That I'm going to be taking the month of February off, and on March 6th, which is a Saturday, Tell the Truth Fast will start airing at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. So if you're running errands during the day, you can catch it in the car. You can tell your friends about it. It won't have to be an evening thing. And I hope you do tell your friends about the show and get them to listen in, and feel free to call in the future. But starting on March 6th, Tell the Truth Fast will be back on the air on KXAM. and it will be at 1 p.m., 1 to 2 p.m. Phoenix time. And I'm actually very excited about that because there'll be more opportunity for more people to listen to it because the power of the station during the day is stronger, and the radius that the broadcast goes out to is to a greater number of people around the Phoenix area. So I'm very excited about this change, and so if you're going to be looking for the show next week, I won't be here on Tuesday night, March 6th. And I want to thank Marla again. I want to thank you for being on the show. And good luck with this book.
Thank you for having me. It was always a pleasure.
And I want to thank everybody who's been listening to Tuesday nights on Tell the Truth Faster. And hopefully you'll follow us on Saturdays, March 6th, on at 1 p.m. So this is Stuart Altshuler, Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM in Phoenix. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you in a month. Good night.
That I heard of love.